Hey there, and welcome back to the Faith Driven Entrepreneur Podcast. We talk a lot about how businesses shape cultures. Media does it too. Today's conversation overlaps with both as we talk to Brazen Animation's co-founder and CEO, Brian Ingram. Brian chats with us about the power of narratives and the importance of excellence. He shares a bit about how he went from working for a large animation company to taking a leap of faith and starting out on his own. And he even tells us how he almost missed out on all of this for a chance to manage a Smoothie King. We've also got a powerful video from Brian that we produced early on with our friends at Right Now Media. We'll link that in the show notes. But for now, let's get into the conversation.
One thing that we get to do that no other creature on the planet can do is that we get to add value by creating things.
And I went from $40 million in revenue to watching everything that I had built for God get sold. Good morning.
Has it been a long night? You've got to make sure that your identity is solidly rooted in who you are in Christ and not in having money.
I sold my company and I really had a hard time getting out of bed.
Maybe been a long year, maybe been a hard life, maybe you're not all right.
Faith-driven entrepreneurs to do what they want to do have to understand what God has given them.
There's winners and learners, not winners and losers.
I feel like I was chosen to be on this show for a reason and I had to do something.
Like, we are addicted to comfort. And he's called me into really difficult positions. That's what he's told me to walk into.
People like you, people like me, this is where we all find grace. Come on now.
Entrepreneurship can be a lonely journey, but it doesn't have to be. This podcast and the whole ministry seeks to equip you, the faith-driven entrepreneur, to seize the unique opportunities that God has placed in front of you and overcome the challenges that life will throw your way. These are the stories of how he takes broken things and makes them new. Come for the podcast, stay for the community. Welcome to Faith Driven Entrepreneur.
So, William, back in 2003, when I was at EA, the guy that was in charge of training and development for all of our artists would bring in these legendary animators to EA. And it was about 2003, he brought in a guy named Ray Harryhausen. And so Ray Harryhausen, he was the creator and the special effects guy for many, many movies, but most notably, I guess, would be Jason and the Argonauts, 1963. Okay, 1963. So Ray died in 2013. So I'm guessing that he was in his early 80s, around 83 years old when he came. And he actually brought these models and laid it all out. And you could see how he used stop action to move every little brick when Jason would break down the wall. And, you know, the whole room was fascinated, absolutely fascinated. And at the end of his talk, we opened it up for questions. And this young kid, I'm assuming he was an intern, you know, couldn't have been 20 years old, raises his hand in all respect. And he says to Mr. Harryhausen, well, how come you just didn't use Maya to do all of this, which was the animation CGI, you know, software at the time, which proved to me the old adage.
There's never a bad question.
No, there are bad questions. There are dumb questions. Sometimes.
Are there? Yeah. Are there? Oh, how did Ray take it?
Technology is just a tool.
Just a tool. So yep. We're now welcoming in someone who you've heard his voice already, who knows way more about this than anybody. Brian Ingram is our guest today. Congratulations, Brian.
Spoiler alert, Brian was that child.
Right, exactly. I had a lot more hair.
Yeah,
exactly. So,
but congratulations, Brian, because I know that you just celebrated a milestone anniversary with your company, Brazen Animation. 10 years you've been at it. So congratulations. We're so excited to have you here on the podcast. I know one guy who wishes he was really here, and that's our co-host, Henry Kasner, because he loves movies and he would give us all kinds of facts and figures. He would know, by the way, that the most anticipated movies of 2023, the all top 10 of them, use animation in some form.
Yes.
So we're missing Henry. He's in Rwanda now, but he'll listen in and he'll probably reach out to you at some point and pick your brain for even more things. But thank you for being on the program. And I'm just going to jump in. You know, I know you did some things with us from Right Now Media back in the day. And we've been doing this Faith-Driven Entrepreneur podcast for over 250 episodes now. So that would be 5 years plus. But we've never had you on the show. So shame on us. Should have had you here. Because I think you're going to bring a unique perspective to media, culture, faith. And so we want to get into that. But first of all, we want to give you a chance to introduce yourself, introduce your work. Tell us, you know, who's Brian?
Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys. Obviously, love the show. Appreciate you having me on. So I'm Brian Ingram, co-founder, CEO, and chief creative of Brazen Animation. As you said, we started 10 years ago and we do stuff like Space Jam 2 and Adam's Family 2 and Fortnite and a lot of work for Blizzard, Overwatch. So we do a lot of film, TV, video game stuff. And that's been fantastic. Really a blessing. Now, this next phase of the company, we're moving into actually our own content, which is really exciting. We recently just signed a distribution deal with Angel Studios for our own show. And we actually got the highest rating of their jury system, where the crowd gets to vote on the show they want to get see made the most.
Did you give them a pilot to do that?
We did. We had a teaser and we put it up there. They call it the Torch. So we got the Torch Award recently. And so we're really excited. So we're actually doing crowdfunding in August for that show. That's the way the Angel model works, right? Just like The Chosen, you do crowdfunding. And so we have now started to go from the service work to now our own content. And man, we are all extremely excited about that opportunity.
What crowdfunding platform should we be looking for in August?
So it will be on Angel Studios portal is what they call it. Okay. And that's how you do it. So people go on and they're able to give money and then we can obviously raise additional money on top of that. So anyway, it's fantastic how it's going to work. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you know, Brian, as I said, as I was introducing you, you know, you have a very unique overlap because you're not only an artist, but you're also a faith-driven entrepreneur. And, you know, we talk all the time. It's pretty much in our culture about how much our society and our culture is shaped and driven by media and entertainment. And so I'm interested in your perspective of, you know, how do you see the media and entertainment, you know, shaping our cultural narratives today? And from your perspective, having been in the industry for a long time now, is that a stronger shaping of the narrative? Is it more compelling? Is it the same as it always was? It's just we see it more. What's your take?
Yeah. So, you know, I have to go back really far. You know, you start to think about how stories were told from an oral tradition, generation to generation, right? And you think about tribes and shamans and how they would get up in front of the tribe and they would tell stories and they'd pass down stories. So if you think about it in those terms, the oral tradition of storytelling, and I actually would include music in this as well, obviously, but we have always had our cultures shaped by storytelling narratives. And so I don't think this is a new thing by any stretch. I think it's just all of human history has been this way. It's a very, very powerful vehicle that either shapes a culture or preserves a culture, depending on who's the storyteller, right? So to your question, I think what's happening more recently is, you know, if you think about Christianity in the West and you go back to early Hollywood, you know, Disney's 100 years old this year, and you think about, there are quotes from Walt Disney about how his faith shaped those early animated films, which shaped how people saw the United States, saw America, saw the West. And we can go back, you know, pre-United States, how Christianity has, and that storytelling using the Bible as the foundation has shaped our culture from Europe, United States, et cetera. And so I think what's unfortunate is because a lot of people now that are in control of maybe the narratives of Hollywood in more recent times, rather than hold on to some of those values that were biblical, have now decided that those values are no longer important. And they actually want to reshape the culture into a new image, a new foundation, new value system, you know, all these things. And I think, you know, obviously as Christians, when we go to films now, there's still glimmers of redemption in these stories, but some of it's becoming perverted in the way that they're, how should I say it? There's now no good and evil. There's like these like relative truth.
Right.
And that's pretty recent, actually. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but you know, I'm a kid of the 80s.
I'm too old.
But I mean, you know, if you look at the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, there was still a lot of redemption.
Sure.
Just jam-packed into stories coming out of Hollywood. And it's really only been in the last few years that that has sort of flipped.
Yeah.
So it's, it is interesting.
Yeah. I also think it's fascinating if you overlay video games into entertainment as well, you know, having spent my time in the industry, that, you know, video games allowed you to become a part of the story.
Right.
And, you know, before that, the story was told to you and you could see yourself maybe being trying to be reflected in linear entertainment, but then all of a sudden you became a part of the story. And then you overlay on top of that reality television, which then began to really shape, you know, well, what should my identity look like and who should I be? And then you put social media on top of that, you know, and all of a sudden all these narratives become, well, what's the bigger, what's the more brash, what's the more abusive, what's the, you know, you put that adjective on it. And I think it makes it really hard to be in the entertainment industry, right? And draw a line. And so you must face that as well, you know? So talk to us about how you've looked at that line and the influence that you have as an artistic studio leader.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, you would be really surprised about how much work we have to turn away because of just to your point about there's certain narratives, certain values, certain things that are being put in video games or being put into stories where we do have to draw that line and we have to say, hey guys, from a brand standpoint, we're not necessarily aligned with those values, or we're actually able to help a lot of these companies speak into it from a standpoint of, even if they don't agree with us from a values perspective, we can say things like, hey, you know, you guys have never done this with your fan base before. You've never had this sort of narrative before. You see what's happening with the other companies that are now doing some of these things. Do you really want to go down this road? And even appealing to them from a marketing standpoint tends to have them take a step back and go, you know what? Actually, I don't know that we want to do that with our fan base. And so, as you would imagine, within Brazen, we have constant conversations about what we're working on, why we're working on it, what we're saying by the things that we're working on, and then our own stories, what are we trying to say, right? And so there's just constant conversation within Brazen about culture, about what's happening in culture outside and what's happening to us internally to either respond to it or to help shape it, both now and the future.
So this would be a great place for you to give our listeners some advice, because there are plenty of entrepreneurs who are looking at the services they provide or the products that they put out there that their employees, you know, might have a differing opinion that should be a customer or that shouldn't be a vendor or, you know, this product shouldn't sit on that shelf, you know, all of those things. Be great to hear your advice to those entrepreneurs that have to deal with that kind of struggle.
I love it. That's a fantastic question. So one of the things we talk a lot about at Brazen is, you know, as you would imagine, we have certain, let's say, clients that we work for that are on one political side of the, you know, spectrum. And we have other clients that are maybe on another side, and their values, their faith kind of fluctuate all over the place in terms of what those companies represent or what they're trying to convey. And what we tell our employees internally is we say, guys, we have our own values. And as long as we are not violating our values, we are willing to work with this group and we're willing to work with this group. So as long as they're not asking us to do anything that violates our morals, our values, then we're willing to work on that, right? And so that's how we talk about, we actually want to serve everyone, right? As a Christian business owner, we want to serve everyone without violating who we are. And so that's really been interesting because internally, it's not like we have all Christians that work at Brazen, right? We have atheists and we have Orthodox Jews and we have devout Muslims. So it's interesting.
Brian, I think that is really interesting. I think it's something a lot of faith from an entrepreneur's face. And so I'm going to ask you if it's all right to take a layer deeper. My guess is if you're listening in the audience, you're probably thinking of some black and white
moments, right? There's just certain things that are off limits. It's clear. But I think it's those decisions that matter that shape the culture of a company, in my opinion, are those gray areas where maybe half the staff's in favor and thinks it does align with the values, and maybe half the staff doesn't. And then you as the CEO have to navigate that and keep the company together and yet defend what was the essence of these values when you set them out. And I'm curious if you had a moment to walk through maybe a gray area decision where you don't have to name names, you can, it's up to you, of course, where, you know, a company was there and it was a great opportunity, but something didn't feel right or something didn't quite match up in your eyes. And therefore you were willing to say, this is my call, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what the values actually mean. And I see why you see it this way, but here's what actually, I don't know if that makes sense. I'd love to hear one of those, because I think that's where a lot of this meets the road, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's great. Okay, so let me see if I can do this without naming the company, because when I start describing what the game is, you may give it away. So we recently were approached by a company who one of the main driving forces of their game is there's a character that's doing battle against demons and they're in hell. And I mean, basically they're fighting demons, right? Now, they wanted to give us a lot of work. And a lot of money is what this project would be worth. And so you had part of the company coming to me and they were saying, hey, you know, this is a really good opportunity. It's a lot of money. We should take this job. I don't think it's directly promoting hell or demons. In fact, the character's doing battle. The problem is in the game cinematics themselves, the way they're portrayed, it's like a glorification of gore, like blowing the demon's heads off and things like that. And even the loading screens use pentagrams, right? That's like part of, you know, the branding of what this promotes. And so it was this really weird area was like, well, isn't this game actually battling demons? So we should be aligned with that. But it's also sort of like glorifying hell and demons and gore and blood and guts and right. And so there was this really weird place where like I literally had the studio split. Half were saying, no way should we work on this. The other half saying, hey, we should totally take this. Look how big the project is. And I don't think it really violates, you know, our values. And I just had to say, like, look, guys, at the end of the day, I want to be able to show my kids the stuff we work on. And I really don't want to align our brand with a brand that one of their main symbols is the pentagram, right? So I had to just make a call and I had to turn away the work. And I mean, I had a company meeting just to let everybody know. And, you know, not everyone's going to agree, but at least having someone make a decision to your point, at least having the CEO go, look, this is what we stand for. This is gray, but there are some things here that really stand out to me that makes it so that we shouldn't align with this particular brand or this particular project.
I love that. I love that. And it doesn't have to be the answer to this next question. I'm curious. Was there any fallout from the side of the company that didn't agree?
No, but it's interesting. We have so many discussions with our clients about, like, we lead off with, hey, just letting you guys know the type of stuff we work on. We're a family-friendly studio. So we almost lead the witness in terms of, hey, we'll consider your project, but don't be surprised if we turn it down. And just by approaching it that way, then they're mentally prepared for it. And so they're like, okay, yeah, we get it. We understand. So we left on good terms because that is such a huge part of the stuff they work on. We probably won't work with them. You know, we have another game studio that we've worked with before that we actually worked with them. And then we had to turn down some other work, but they've got some other properties that they've come back to us. And they said, well, we know you won't work on these projects, but we have this other project that we know won't violate your values. Would you work on that one? So anyway, it's really interesting. If you're just open to have the conversation about how you can had any negative or vitriolic tension just by being honest.
And then there's the hidden positive that comes from being able to have those conversations too, because the leader of the company that you went and turned down, he or she will tell others, hey, you know, those guys are great, but don't go there for this because they're just going to turn you down, which saves you from having to go through the conversation again.
Right.
Just because you stood up and said, this is what we stand for.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. You know, there's always natural fear about being canceled. If you're a Christian or you're open with it, or especially if you're a faith-driven entrepreneur, right? And so there's always a little fear, especially in this industry, about being canceled. people still bring us tons. I mean, we're doing a ton of work for Netflix right now. We're doing work for Riot Games. You know, they do League of Legends. So we're doing a ton of work for those guys. So we haven't been canceled yet. And we're very open on our social channels. Like, we post Bible verses and Easter and Christmas and, you know, so I don't know.
That's awesome. That's great. So as a child of Nintendo One, which was where I went to, you know, let's be honest, dominate my friends at various games, because that's what I'm good at. I feel like the debate over games and TV and impacts on children and, you know, things like that probably has never been higher. You know, I mean, I've even heard parents talk about, you know, gosh, I mean, I don't want them to play games, but if they're playing games in my basement, at least I know where they are. Right. I mean, there's just all kinds of, I've heard all kinds of theological, you know, points of view on this. Right. I'm just curious to give you an open forum, like theology of gaming and media, and not just for children, for us. I mean, adults are just as sucked in. I mean, where do our kids learn it? Right. Probably from us. Right. I've got a 5, 3, and a 1-year-old. So my gaming days are a little behind me for a little bit, but I'm just curious, how do you see that world from a Christian worldview? And, you know, what's the redemptive imagination that maybe some people aren't seeing when they think about this world?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think that there is such an opportunity, especially as more companies that are like Brazen get into this space, to really have an influence. And it's strange to say this, because you want to bring new things to the table. But as a Christian, there are these, you know, if you are a believer and you believe that God is the origin of truth and the origin of creativity and the origin of, then as a Christian storyteller, you believe that every moment of what you're trying to do, you can speak into people's hearts, their minds, their souls from a redemptive perspective. And so I think, whether we want to admit it or not, there is redemptive things happening within culture. It's just trying to help your kids see it. So if you are an active parent, and maybe this is where you're going with your question, if you're an active parent with your kids and you're watching a Disney movie, and let's say it does have something in it you don't agree with, that is an absolute opportunity to both point out the redemptive aspect of that story, but also things that maybe don't align with values, right, that you're trying to instill in your kids. So for me, in that regard, I look at it as all an opportunity to be redemptive if you are a parent that's not just throwing your kid in front of the TV, but you actually engage with them with the media itself, right? And so does that answer your question?
It does.
Yeah, I think it's really good. I mean, in my years at EA, they had the same question asked to me all the time. And I said the exact same thing that you did, which is, you know, you let the video game be the babysitter, then you've abdicated your responsibility as a parent. Mm-hmm. However, if you engage with them and you play, and there's many a father-son relationship that are amazing relationships, because dad can't go back out in the backyard and dunk the basketball anymore with the son.
Right. Right.
But they can do that together on a video game, or they can solve, you know, they can win on the video game together. And, you know, that's some pretty powerful moments if you stop and think about previous generations where they can remember going to the movies with their parents. Mm-hmm. I was 7 years old going seeing Patton with my dad the day that I got my first pair of eyeglasses. We'll never forget that he took me to see that movie. The same thing is happening in this generation if we engage.
Right.
They will remember the first time they sat down and played the new Zelda, you know, but I think that's part of the answer, which you're closer to today than I am. But I think that's been a part of the answer for all media for a long time.
Right.
You know,
absolutely. And it is a shame, to your point, that a lot of parents do use it as just a babysitting tool versus, and I'll just give you a quick, you know, my mom, and I can talk about this more in a second, but you know, my mom, she was a theater teacher, director. So I grew up watching movies in a different way than most people. She actually, we would watch movies together and she would critique the acting and tell me why Robert De Niro, like, hey, Brian, did you see Robert De Niro? Did you see how he shifted his body and see his expression and all that sort of stuff? And so my mom, as a teacher of theater and of classical literature, she taught me how to watch movies and absorb stories in a certain way. Now, granted, not everyone has that. But to your point, whether it be movies or video games, man, if we're able to do that stuff together and we're actually able to use these stories to teach life lessons, it can be extremely powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the reasons why that we see this, you know, kids being so pulled into these games and movies and this animation is because it's so real. It's done at a such high level of excellence that, you know, it suspends disbelief. And, you know, that's what you're doing, but you're also committed because you talk about a high level of excellence in what you do, which I want you to riff on that, because so many times when you put the word Christian in front of, you know, work that's being done, whether it's in entertainment or anything that's that, the first thing it conjures up is, well, it's not going to be up to par. It won't be the same at the same standard. And that's exactly the opposite of what, you know, we're called to do from Christ. We're called to do what we do with a level of excellence. And I know you're committed to that. And so talk about where that concept comes from inside of you and how do you manifest that out inside of the company?
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. Okay. So there were a couple questions in there. I'll just give you an anecdote from, I'll use my mom. So my mom grew, she wanted to be an actress. She was a theater major. She was a music minor. She has her master's in classical literature. She desperately wanted to go to Hollywood and be an actress. That was her dream. My grandparents, who I love, so I don't want to disparage them at all, but they absolutely, as Christians, persuaded her not to do that because they thought she would be corrupted. She would be, you know, her morals would be corrupted, right? And my mom basically said, well, I don't do that. Became a school teacher. Now, I use that as an example just for a second to explain how we got to this point from a church Christian perspective. Take that example, and that is happening across millions of kids growing up with talent, acting, art, animation, music, right? The arts. And they're being told, if you go into that realm, you will be corrupted. You will fall under the guise of some satanic, you know, influence. Now, that does happen to some people, so I don't want to discount that. But if you then track with that over generations, to your point, what happens? You've now removed all these amazing people that maybe have these values from Hollywood, from these industries. And suddenly what you're left with is you're left with two things. You're left with less people telling these sorts of redemptive stories, right? That they might have told otherwise. The second thing is that, I hate to say it this way, but maybe the most talented people are the ones now creating the more faith-based content, right? And so you end up with that along with maybe investors who are investing in those projects. And it's usually like somebody's cousin or somebody's nephew has an idea for a film that's never been in the industry or done it. So that person's not necessarily qualified to make it, right? And so I'm just trying to track with you, just talk to you about, from my perspective, there's been a tragedy that's happened within Christians producing excellent content. It's almost been neutered out of the church through this thought that if we go into that, you know, Hollywood is Satan's world, right? Entertainment is Satan's world. It's not for us. Therefore, we're not going to invest in it. We're not going to encourage our kids to do it. We're not going to, does it make sense?
Totally makes sense. Totally right. Makes sense.
So for me, what a huge part, and I don't know how early I realized that, but I realized it pretty early, like, man, if you had Christians creating things at a really high quality level, and the, you know, the Greek word, so if you look at virtue, the Greek word is arete, which means excellence. That is to do the most excellent thing, right? To be virtuous, to have excellence in what you do, right? And so that is actually the first thing to supplement your faith with is virtue, which excellence. And so I think about things like excellence honors God and inspires people. Of course, there's that quote. But then Steve Martin says, be so good they can't ignore you.
Right.
Right. And so I believe from an excellence standpoint, not only are we made to be excellent, we're not made to be mediocre, but also from a standpoint of telling stories, reaching the world, reaching culture, you can reach people through excellence. That's what they respond to. whether they realize it or not, they're actually respond to, I think their soul responds to it, right? The creator created us to be able to create other things, right? And so I think people respond to that from a spiritual standpoint, whether they consciously or subconsciously realize that. And so for us and for me, we push quality and excellence really hard in our storytelling and our artwork, because we believe that's actually how we'll penetrate the market and be able to speak to people at a deeper level, because they won't be looking at it like, oh, it's just this is another Christian bad, you know, piece of junk, right? They'll look at it for what it is. Oh, this is amazing. Even if they know a Christian made it, they're like, this is still amazing. And like Steve Martin said, they have to take note. It's so good, they have to take notice, right?
Right. Yeah. Good for you. I mean, I so want to see a world where, you know, we don't just go, we're shocked because somebody of faith made something great, you know? I mean, it's like, that's where we kind of sit right now. We go, wow, there's finally one, you know, that's amazing. And let's just pray that we have momentum here with guys like you. So one more question I forgot, and then I'm going to turn it over to William. And I know he's going to take us through our lightning round as well. But so you've been on this entrepreneurial journey for quite a while. You stepped away. I love the fact that you did mentoring and coaching for a number of years for animators. And I'm sure you touched lots of people, by the way, you know, during that time that you had influence on. Take us through the growth that you've had in your faith from the entrepreneurial journey that you had the courage, took the risk, turned left and said, I'm going and doing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, so I can't speak to that unless I speak to how I got in industry to begin with, right? So I just graduated college. I was a year out of college. I had an art degree, a film degree. I was teaching myself animation. I had a job at Smoothie King. And it was a fun job, I will admit. You get to talk to people all day and it was a lot of fun. But
was that something you aspired to have that job at Smoothie King?
No, I can't say that I did. Actually, I was in prayer constantly about it because I was approached by my manager. I've been there 3 months and I approached by my manager and he was opening another Smoothie King. And so he said, you know, Brian, I love your work ethic. How about you run this one and I'll open a new one? And I'll start you at, remember, I'm fresh out of school, right? So he said, I'll start you at $32,000 a year to manage this Smoothie King. So to your question, I'm having all these crazy, I'm like, God, am I the Smoothie King guy? Is that my path? Is that what I'm doing here? I was hoping to be an animator, but, you know, so I actually, my boss was a Christian and I went to him and his name's Todd. He's an amazing guy. And I said, Todd, can you just give me tonight? I really would love to pray about this and I'll get back to you tomorrow. So this is no exaggeration. I went home that night and I got on my face like David and I prayed to God. And the prayer wasn't, God, let me be an animator. The prayer was, God, just tell me what you want me to do. If this is what you want me to do, then I'll do it. But I just need some direction somehow. So went to sleep that night, got up the next day, checked my email. And wouldn't you know, there was an email from the company I used to work for, Real Effects, that said, Brian, you can come in as an unpaid intern for 3 months and we're giving you a shot. And so I went to my boss and I told him, I said, hey, look, I've got this shot. And I didn't want to tell him I was an unpaid intern. So he said, well, I hope they're taking care of you. I said, yes, sir, they are. And so I went in and the thing was, I had a lot of faith to do that because we only had enough money to last us a month. I couldn't last the full 3 months. And so I slept there. I worked and, you know, I was in prayer. And 1 month to the day that I started, my boss came by and he said, Brian, come here. I want to talk to you. He said, we just got a job with Hasbro doing a new G.I. Joe direct to DVD movie. I love your work ethic. You know the software, Maya. You know Maya. And you know cameras because my degree was in film. And he said, I'm going to start you at $37,000 a year as a junior layout artist, which is a cinematographer, right? And so I went home and I opened the door. My wife immediately knew. She's like, they hired you. I was like, yeah. And so we hugged and rolled around on the floor. So now to get to your other question, that experience, along with looking back to the rest of my life, seeing God work like that and seeing him do that over and over, then when it came time for me to leave that job, I'd been there 8.5 years. And I'd worked my way up in the company. I reported to the CEO and basically felt like God had been preparing me to have my own company. He'd exposed me to the entire company. We went from 20 people to 600 people over that period. And when I went in, I'd prepared my wife. I said, I think I'm going to come home one day and probably have quit. And I mentally prepared her for that. And that day that I put my notice in at RealFX was one of those moments. I walked in that day and I sat down, and it was, I can't say that God audibly spoke to me, but it was definitely this, it's time to go. And I went and told my boss and said, I've got to go. I'm going to start my own thing. And so your question is, how do you deal with the faith? I would tell people that if you look back at your life and you see how God has taken care of you through every phase, every stage of your life, you know, when God talks about, why are you anxious? Look at the lilies of the field. Have I not taken care of them, right? Like when God talks, those verses, they're not just poetic. They're legitimate commands for us to have faith. And so that's how I was able to step out and start my own studio. And we've had, you know, as you would imagine, having your own company, you have different moments where, you know, early on we couldn't make payroll. And so I'm taking money out of my personal life savings to make sure I don't have to lay anybody off, right? So that takes a tremendous amount of faith and trust in God that He'll provide. And so that's what I mean is just at this point, if I look at my life, I don't see how I can not have faith and trust God, because He's taken care of me and my family and our company over and over and over and over.
Amen. It's always to remember the faithfulness of God. Never a bad thing to reflect on. Okay. So we're going to switch gears a little bit at the end here. We're going into lightning rounds. It's exhilarating. Get ready.
Buckle Fantastic. Up. Love it.
The goal is 20 to 30 second answers. There's an internal clock, not an external clock, but we're going to have fun with it.
Fantastic. Go.
Super quick. What's something, a song, a movie, a video that you always look for inspiration?
Absolutely. Lion King. So Lion King, there's a section where he goes and Rafiki shows him, he says, look down, you've forgotten who you are. And then his father comes to him in the clouds and says, you have forgotten who you are. Remember who you are. And so I so identify with that character in that moment. And I feel like that movie speaks to me on many layers, especially spiritually. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who I made you to be. Right? So Lion King.
Animated or live action version?
Oh, definitely animated, not okay, live
good,
action.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure you hadn't crossed over that line. So
you're allowed to stay. You're allowed to stay.
Yeah. Best game of 2022, and what do we have to play for 23?
Oh, best game. Okay. So unfortunately, you're probably asking the wrong person in this regard, and here's why. Because obviously, I love God of War. I love the original Spider-Man. I know the new Spider-Man is going to come out pretty soon, so I love those games. But I'm a huge Madden fan,
Awesome.
And so much so that, you know, we actually do all the graphics for all the Madden games. We've done the last 4 years of graphics for all Madden. Yeah.
I love to hear that. Lots of years being around that game.
Yes.
All right, I got one more than the close. What's one project you want to see exist in the world that doesn't?
Ooh, that's a great one. I would love a story, and maybe this is something that we'll do animated at some point. And it doesn't have to be an exact telling of the book of Job, but I've always been fascinated with that story of Job and how God used his suffering and the faithfulness that he had in his suffering and then to bless him. And so I would love a story, not necessarily calling it Job, but some sort of version of that animated. I've always been really intrigued with Job and his story and just how all that went down. I mean, do you think about the friends coming to him and telling him, this is your fault? You know, you did this to yourself, and just the faithfulness that Job had. I've always loved that. So again, it can be allegorical. It can be more metaphor. It doesn't have to be an exact retelling of Job, but I've always wanted to see something like that, especially animated.
That's good. Okay. So our final question, where we always love to end, is take it back to God's word. And we love to invite our guests to share something that is coming alive to them from God's word. It could be something you've meditated on your whole life and why you started your company. It could be something you read this morning on the way in. But we love to just invite God's word into this moment and say, you know, where's it coming alive for you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Well, so, you know, Luke 8:25, and this applies to the whole conversation because it's something I think about a lot, which is, you know, Jesus says, you know, the disciples, they're in the boat, the storm is there, and he's asleep, and he's at peace. And when he wakes up, he looks at them and he says, you know, he calms the storm, but he says, where's your faith? Where is it? And what's interesting about that, if you look at Revelation 21, you know how it lists, you know, all these sins, and one of the ones is to the cowardly. If you look at the Greek word of coward, it's the same word that Jesus uses about where is your faith. And so that may seem harsh coming from Jesus, like, oh, so Jesus is calling us cowards, right? But I don't view it that way. I view it more as like an encouragement of just don't be scared. You know, the verse said, you know, we weren't given a spirit of fear, right? But of love and power and self-control. So I've really thought about that moment of Jesus being at peace and how he expects us to be at peace in the midst of the storm. Don't be scared. Don't be a coward. Have faith. Trust in him. And we can have that sort of peace too, right? And so, again, the reason why that's resonating for me so much is, like I've told you guys earlier, that people are always constantly scared now. You know, are we going to get canceled? Is something going to happen to the company? And my question is just, where's our faith? We've just got to have faith that Jesus is going to take care of us. God's going to take care of us no matter what, right?
That's fantastic. Yeah, you know, I've so always wanted, I just wish one of the disciples would have like been up on the bow of the boat, hanging on like Titanic, and the wind's going like this. And they're going, guys, this is so much fun.
Right. I mean,
this boat's never going to go down. Get up here. You know, so I would have liked to have been that guy. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for hanging with William and I today. It has been a lot of fun. And thank you for all that you're doing. You know, we got a lot of listeners, and I'm sure there's one of them out there is going, yeah, but if Brian would have stayed with Smoothie King, imagine how amazing our smoothies would have been. But I'm sure everyone else is like going, you know, we're glad that someone like you is in the middle, you know, of this intersection of media and entertainment and living out your values and living the values of Christ. So thank you. We ask a blessing over you and your business. And we'll be watching on the Angel Studio platform, see how we can help come August.
I appreciate that, guys. Thank you very much. I love you guys, and I love what you're doing. And I feel very honored to be on the show today. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We are grateful for the opportunity to serve the community and see listeners come in from more than 100 countries. Entrepreneurship is often a lonely journey, but it doesn't have to be. The best way to stay connected is to join a group study with other faith-driven entrepreneurs like yourself. There's no cost, no catch. In person or online, you can meet for an hour a week with your peers from your backyard or the other side of the world. You can also stay connected by signing up for our monthly newsletter at faithdrivenentrepreneur.org. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help of many of our friends. Executive producer Justin Foreman, intro mixed and arranged by Summer Dregs, audio and editing by Richard Barley. Our theme song is In the House by David Crowder.